All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. I got an early bird here with us this morning, Kyle Krabs, who's in town from Locked On Fins podcast out there yesterday and was standing there when he heard Tua. I was a little surprised by the comments, not that it was anything bad. Some people reading into it that now Tyreek and Tua are going to have problems, but Tua made it clear that Tyreek's going to have to work to regain some of the teammates and coaches' trust, get it back after the comments he made at the end of the year. Just curious, Kyle, what'd you think?
Yeah, I appreciated Tua saying it, and you know, I think anybody that maybe took exception to it, just understand, like, Tyreek's always been a guy that said the right things up until that incident at the end of the year, right? But it's what does Tyreek do? And you can't really take action, like tangible action, to prove that you're earning someone's trust back until it's time to start going through the process of training camp and start going through games and start going through game plans and how you prepare throughout the week and how you practice throughout the week and how you react when you have a game where you don't get a lot of targets. So, like, I had absolutely no issue, and I appreciated Tua saying that out loud as the quarterback and leader of the team, that the guy who had this blow up last year. Yeah. Like, we can't just pretend that this didn't happen. And Tua said, I appreciate the steps that he's taking right now, but he's going to have a lot of work to do to build that trust back up. And I think he's spot on with it.
Yeah. And by the way, the day before, Tyreek, man, I mean, he was spot on about himself. I mean, he covered everything. Yeah. Now I made a mistake. I got to do this better. I got to do that better. I got to be a leader. Hey, if they don't want me to be a captain, I understand. I got to keep working. But listen, at the end of the day, Tua and Tyreek need each other. They really do. If we're talking about a big year for Tua or a big year for Tyreek, they need each other for 17 games, right?
Yeah, I think the chemistry that they've had as far as a quarterback and wide receiver combination is very well established, and Tyreek losing a little bit of weight to keep speed and make sure he doesn't lose a step, I think will be very valuable. And it's just the balance of, you know, how much of the offense do you run through Tyreek versus getting too one-dimensional in that regard. But if that's the problem that you have, then yeah, I think the best version of Tyreek and Tua both that do include each other based on what the rest of the roster composition looks like. And
yeah.
And then you get through this year and you have those hard conversations about the future and what it looks like after that, after you know what this year looks like.
All right, so this is not a big deal to me either, but I'm going to bring it up because I saw Omar had a big article on it today. So Minkah Fitzpatrick has not talked the first couple of days. I think the team has come out and said Minkah's not ready to do it. Hey, man, I don't care when he talks. I don't. He's going to have to talk soon. But I really don't care if he talked the first couple of days. And I get why they want him and stuff, but I'm not going to read into. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick is fine with the fresh start. He's got his family down here. They've lived down here the whole time. I didn't realize Minkah's been living down here the whole time. He's got a home down here. His family's down here. I believe his mother and father are down here. So he's out there practicing. I don't know if this has to do with, you know, trying to get an extension, or I think it just has to do, he doesn't probably feel real comfortable the way this thing ended, number one. He doesn't want to talk about Brian Flores, number two, and what exactly happened, because people got to ask. That's going to be the question. I think right now he just wanted to focus on the football part of it. Do you agree with that, or do you think there's more to it?
Well, I don't want to speak for Minkah, but what I do know is Mike McDaniel came straight out at the press conference and said, usually when you trade for a player, part of that process is ensuring that the player
wants to come.
That you're about to trade for, yeah, is willing and ready and wants to come and play for you. And
right,
that was obviously not a problem. They executed the trade. Minkah is a pretty private guy in general. He's not a big-time active social media guy, and I understand the way that he left. It was very unceremonious, and there was some scar tissue there. And from the fans' perspective, there's a whole subsection of the fan base that still is convinced that Minkah doesn't want to play for the Dolphins, and that's why he's not talking. I don't think there's any concern with that, just based off of seeing him leading the positional drills yesterday, breaking the guys down, right, seeing the way that he's participating in practice and the way that he's communicating already. And so, yeah, I don't think it's a big deal that he hasn't talked, but I do think when he's ready to talk, would love for it to happen so we can kind of put it to bed and get back to focusing.
I agree with
about
that.
The football.
Yeah, you know? No, he needs to answer those questions, and they are coming. The Brian Flores, what happened, that why you wanted out so badly, that those they're going to pop up. You are right on the money on that. Hey, let's talk about Artie Burns. He goes down, veteran cornerback.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to make the team or not. I don't know how he was going to play. I don't know exactly. I know Artie's been around a while. He's a Miami guy. But so you look at that room, and I know you and I have talked about this. There's just not a lot of experience. There might be some really good players. I think the team's counting on some of these guys stepping up, being able to play, or they would have never put themselves into this situation where camp started and you still don't have a veteran cornerback. I do believe they're going to get a veteran cornerback. They still want to get that guy at the right price. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I can't remember a position that has this little experience as they have outside of Kader Kohou. And if I would have told you Storm Duck has the second most experience of that group, just
right,
to give you an idea, it's
300 snaps.
It's a little scary. Now listen, they believe they got some young talented guys that just need their opportunity and can go get them, because they must have known they're going to have to play some of these guys this year.
Yeah, and I do think that they are well positioned to be a team that does some more three safety stuff. Just when you look at the safety room, and I think you can spread it around that way a little bit as well. But the thing for Artie is, I think he would have been a great fourth corner and special teams guy, but just based off the track record and the injury history and how little, he hasn't played more than 300 snaps since like 2019 in a season. So you kind of knew coming in, and he had a vet minimum deal with no guaranteed money, right? So I don't think that they necessarily,
right,
positioned themselves where they had a lot riding on Artie, but from the youth of the rest of the room, he'd have been a great guy to have for the experience element and being a guy who played in the system in Seattle last year, so he could step in or be a role player. So it's a bummer in that regard for sure, but I do think this just amplifies that flirtation that they've had with some veteran corners and eventually biting the bullet and making a move in that regard.
I would not be surprised to see, in a perfect world, Ifeatu, Ashton Davis, and Minka Fitzpatrick all on the field together. Could you see some of those opportunities?
Yeah, I think that's there's a lot of potential with that, with Melifonwu's college background as a corner and all of the versatility that Minka has. I think some of your best defensive sets would probably at this stage have three safeties out on the field. And look, when teams want to play 12 personnel or put two tight ends out there, or they run a heavy 11 personnel with big physical wide receivers and they're able to run the ball out of it, having that 11th defender be a safety with a little bit more physicality and run fit and tackling ability, but has some coverage stuff, it can really help you against some of those teams that would otherwise really dictate matchups against you and put you in a bind. So it's kind of the football utopia right now with the way that the game is played. I think you have a safety that has high-end coverage ability, and you can live in, you know, some big nickel type stuff just because it gives you answers both against the pass and against the run.
Hey, Kyle, we didn't talk much about – I haven't talked about it, but I like this little pickup with Daniel Brunskill,
yes,
a center guard from the Titans, who's got a bunch of starts over the last couple of years. Now you're talking about adding a guy, to me, that gives you a little depth on the offensive line. You feel that way with that pickup?
Yeah, I do. And I know some of it might have been spurred on by whatever – Liam Eichenberg is working through that has him on the PUP. Mike McDaniel said yesterday his absence will be weeks. He didn't dismiss that he would be ready for the start of the season potentially, but It does not sound like this is just a couple day thing, and then they'll activate Liam Eikenberg like you see a lot of teams do with a lot of players with the physically unable to perform list this time of year. It sounds like it is a little bit more of a long-term thing, but this just further opens the door for Daniel Brunskill with experience in the scheme and a significant overlap in time with Mike McDaniel of several years as a starting offensive lineman. I think at this stage of Brunskill's career, he probably is your sixth or seventh offensive lineman, depending on how you slot him versus a swing tackle. But being that utility guy, that's kind of the next man up. And he's played all five spots in his NFL career. I wouldn't play him at tackle at this stage, but that experience, and he's done it, and he knows this system. He had his breakout in San Francisco in 2019. There's a lot of common sense dots to connect with Brunskill that I think has the potential to make him be a high-value depth asset for the Dolphins' offensive line.
Hey, so just on yesterday, it's a first practice, and I don't want to do the who's hot and who's not after, you know, 60 minutes out in the rain a little bit there. But Jordan Phillips, I expect Jordan Phillips to play a lot, whether he actually gets a first snap to be called a starter or not. You expect him to play a lot of football this year, don't you?
Yeah, and I go back to what Anthony Weaver talked about last year about wanting to have a big-time rotation of defensive linemen, and the injuries last year just didn't allow that to really happen. And that includes the guys on the inside where they had, what, they brought in 12 guys last year. It was kind of like the cornerback situation this year was the defensive tackle situation last year, and they made the late veteran signing with Calais Campbell that obviously boosted the room just before training camp, but it was Tierre Tart and Neville Gallimore and right. Sean and Benito Jones and Jonathan Harris. Like, you could just go down the list with a dozen guys, it felt like, and only a handful of them made the roster. But Andy Weaver last year wanted to have kind of that depth element, and I think they're better positioned to maybe have that this year, and that includes Jordan Phillips being a guy who I think is a big part of their rotation up front. And I like some of the work that he had yesterday as far as, you know, you're not in pads, but that just puts more focus on your hands and your usage of your hands and your leverage of your frame. And he's a really stocky build guy, and he's got a wrestling background, and it shows.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see how his camp progresses because I really liked him and thought they got a great steal when they drafted him in the fifth round.
Yeah, for fans going out this weekend to see the three big tackles starting at about 320, working up to about 340 between the three of them that were drafted, that should be fun to watch. Speaking of that, I got to tell you, man, with this hold in and hold out and hold around and everything, how about Zach Seeler showing up and going yesterday? I got to tell you, man, I love the guy. I don't know how many guys would have done it. I you know, obviously he wants a new contract. I think they're working on it, trying to get something done. But he goes out there and is out there practicing. I just thought it was kind of refreshing to see.
Yeah, it's kind of quintessential Zach, right? Like, it just, his whole journey and story to this point has been about investing in himself and developing as a player and going about your business in a way that really makes you root for him. And this is just the latest chapter of that, because he's out there and he's working. They got a little trio of him and two of the young defensive tackles, and they're spending significant time working together, working on the technique of how to handle a block combination.
Right.
And like, I'm watching that unfold during one of the early portions of practice yesterday, and it's like, yeah, that's exactly what you would expect from Zach Seeler. So I certainly do hope that they work something out, because he has far outperformed his contract. And I'd like Zach to be here as long as he wants to play. You know, he's the kind of guy that you root for to stay and be a part of your organization for as long as possible.
So I leave you with this one, because Bo hit me hard with the culture stuff yesterday. Do you get any different feel? Woody asked me this morning too. You get any different feel from the team that you saw and a little bit? Listen, we're not behind the scenes with the coaches and what's being said with the players and coaches, but just from what you saw out on the field?
I think the biggest thing yesterday with what was kind of an abbreviated practice as a whole was the first day. was there was some procedural stuff, some self-inflicted errors, some guys running off the line of scrimmage early, kind of first day camp sloppy stuff. And they wrapped it up, and they brought us down to the media tent, and one of the members of the communications team came down and said, "Hey, guys, just give us a couple minutes. They're doing some extra conditioning after practice." And then Austin Jackson said, "You know, we decided we want to we needed to do the extra effort after practice officially ended to take the corrective measures based off of some of the sloppiness that we had today."
Yeah,
and little stuff like that. I think the peeking through the keyhole of what you are able to see, that was one of the ones where you're like, all right, like, good for you guys. Like, I hope that continues to be a commonality team, because they talked about accountability being an issue last year. And if it's all about the players applying it. And, you know, I thought that was a good start yesterday.
All right. Hey, Kyle, thank you, man. Really appreciate it. And I will see you, and appreciate you coming on this morning.
Sounds good, Joe. Talk to you soon.
Kyle Krabs, Locked On Fins podcast. Out of camp yesterday, be here for a few days, going through everything with open practices to the fans this weekend. Right now, I want to talk to you here and run a little bit late. Atlantic Men's Clinic, never too late to talk about such a great product. And, man, if you're dealing with low T and ED, I had both. Of course, I've had both. And I'm a little worried. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. My energy level, I got up to about 265. I was going, oh boy, I'm getting way too close to this 300-pound thing, and it's not good. And then I realized, oh, I haven't cut back on to eating. I was on that couch. I was stuck to it. I was tired all the friggin' time. And my sex drive kind of followed the same deal. There was first a little bit happening, and then there was nothing happening. Without getting into details, it was not good. But I got to tell you, man, Atlantic Men's Clinic, I met with them, did not want to meet with them, but I went in there and I go, all right, what do you guys got to say? Didn't have the best attitude when I went there. Yeah, hey, we're going to take the PSA test. Hey, tell us what's going on. I met with their professionals, and they go, Joe, we can take care of this, man. This is going to be gone quickly. And I was like, are you sure? And I realized they explained everything. Men starting in their early 40s, 50s, 60s, every guy out there is going to get low T and ED. They're going to run together, and you're going to have them both. And then you got to decide what you're going to do. I hope you go to Atlantic Men's Clinic, because you're going to get great results. Man, I got the testing done. I set up that first appointment, 877-455-7300. And that's when they bring out their best people. They meet with you, go through a program. They're going to put you on that's perfect for you, not me. Not somebody else down the street, for you. Seven locations in South Florida to serve you. Hollywood location, the newest one. Perfect location. Easy to get to. Hey, before that summer vacation, why not get your energy back and your sex drive back? And do it with Atlantic Men's Clinic. It works. All right, welcome back. Good morning. Happy Thursday to everybody out there. Hope everybody's getting planned for little vacation time before it all gets going here and the kids go back to school and get a little good weather here this weekend. Maybe get a little tennis in there. Wouldn't be bad. Be good for my psyche for sure. So, Woody, I got to bring you back in here, man. I thought Kyle was great again today, talking a little bit about the Dolphins for a first day. So you saw what happened yesterday in the All-Star game. I didn't watch any of it, by the way. I don't want to be a fraud here this morning. Messi didn't play, and Alba did not play. And I saw another top player did not play. And, again, I don't know what the league – now the league's got to make a decision. Obviously, they're getting ready to play one of the best teams in the MLS, who they just recently lost to in Cincinnati, right? So they're playing them this Saturday, I believe, Saturday at home. So do they think they're going to stick to this policy, or is it Messi? And they go, no, we can't have him missing games. I mean, any game at home or on the road he can play, our league needs this. So I
What are you saying? We change the rules for him?
Yes. They change every other rule.
Okay. Everybody else got the
payroll of Inter Miami. I still don't understand that one. I'm still trying to figure out how some of the payroll is like $12 million on some of the teams, and we got like a friggin' Well, they're paying Messi more than that. I don't know how the hell they're paying all these guys.
There's been an exemption. The league has given an exemption to Inter Miami.
Yeah. Not to mention some sweetheart deals with Apple and the Peace City Action and Adidas and everybody else stepping in to make that Messi kind of, hey, listen, man, he's worth everything. He is important to this league like nobody else. I would not argue that with anybody. He is, and he's been that good in this league. But I don't know why we're going through this and why. We didn't call Baptist Health to get one of our doctors to write a little note that Messi's not feeling well and he can't play in the game. You know, hamstring, Achilles, a little sore, calf muscle, something.
You should probably hire Jimmy Butler's guy. Whoever he uses when he went to the tennis tournament, couldn't play the next day. Well, that's who he needs to hire.
Oh, yeah, he did the flu. Didn't he do like
stomach
flu. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he had that little problem. That's a good one, Woody.
That's the guy he needs. That guy writes a good excuse letter, whoever that is.
Well, listen, man, they got this game, and didn't they just lose 3-0 to Cincinnati? And so got another game Saturday night at home. And if they go by the rules, because these guys didn't play, Alba and Messi aren't going to be able to play in this game. So,
we always go by the rules, Joe.
By the rules. Hey, man, there's two sets of rules. Rules for the stars.
Messi rules and the others.
Rules for the stars and rules for everybody else. Some guys, you know, hey.
By the way, you just screw the people that pay for the tickets.
Yeah. Which ones?
No one else cares. I mean.
First of all,
I would guess, by the way, the team's playing against. I'm guessing they all like when he's out there.
Oh, yeah. They want to play. Yeah. No, I get it. And hey, by the way, that All-Star game's probably pretty important. A lot of guys that made the team to play. Messi's in a little different world. I don't think he really, when he heard, like, hey, you're having a great year, Messi, that's the good news. The bad news is they want you to play in the All-Star game. He's like, I've played in every kind of game possible. I really don't need to play in that game.
He's playing the biggest games ever. You think he's worried about a 9 o'clock at night in Austin, Texas, All-Star game for MLS? And they tried to make him a captain, and he declined.
No, don't make me a captain. Don't make me a captain. Hell, I'm not even going. No. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't even make the trip.
So you know what the media does. They go right to the president of the league and commissioner. Hey, well, what are you going to do now? Messi didn't show. He and Alba. They didn't show. What are you going to do? I don't have to.
Under advisory.
I'm going to have to talk to some people here and make a decision.
How long is it going to take for you guys to forget about all this? So
yeah,
I can just kind of.
Right. Hey. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. I saw somebody else said something about Messi's hurting his game by playing against that competition, the way he's dominating. He needs to play against. Get back over here, and they want him to go to the Saudi Arabia League.
There's a lot of competition
where
there.
Where the talent's better. I don't know. They pay a lot, though.
No, there's no talent over there. They just get big stars so that they can, you know, be on TV.
Ronaldo went over there, took some money.
Yeah, and Benzema went there. They have big names, but outside of the big names, it's a huge drop-off.
Well, anyway, we'll see what happens to the mess man on
I mean, I just don't see if they're not going to suspend him for this Cincinnati game. Then they go into Leagues Cup, which is against the MLS and Mexico's league. They're not going to suspend him for games against the Mexican league. So where are they going to suspend him?
Damn, man. You know, it's taken a while to get used to with all the different games and leagues and the top clubs for the World Cup and that they just have, which, by the way, was great. Great stuff. And all the best teams were there at the end, right? All the best teams in the world were there from the biggest leagues. So, you know, it was turned out great. But my God, man. Then they go, all right, we'll be back in our league in like 6 weeks. And then you're going, oh, we got this one. And I'm like, geez, man. And then how do you put a priority on which games are important to you? When you're going through this, and I'm guessing they don't want to get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. You want to be at your best for that. Set yourself up to get in that situation. I don't know. The Moss brothers have to sit me down here at a University of Miami football game, explain some of this stuff to me, to explain and on the priority list. Well, their coach came out and said he didn't want him to play in that All-Star game. He didn't even hide from it. He said, no, we don't want that. Hey, we got to go to break here. I am super late, and I apologize if my boss is on her way in this morning. She's in town here. Lovely lady. Just a wonderful lady. Can't beat her. I don't know if she's up this early or not, though. Hey, by the way, we've got a lot of news. We got a big day in the ACC media kickoff, the final day. And what do you get for the final day? Dabo Sweeney and Bill Belichick. It is weird every time. It never gets old to say, I can't believe. You know how certain things happen in sports and you go, I never thought this would happen. I remember we just having a debate like, no way Bill Belichick at 73 is going back and coach college football. All the old coaches are getting out of Division I college football. They're retiring. And Bill decides, what the hell? I got this young girlfriend. I'm all in. I'm going to do it. Matter of fact, North Carolina going to pay me $10 million. Whew, man. All right. Hey, listen, we got to go to break, and I mean it this time. I do want to tell you about Chapman Partnership this morning, an organization that does unbelievable work for the homeless, really turns their lives around. And anytime I have learned through the years, you talk about the homeless, people get turned off real quickly because when you're at a stop sign or stoplight and those people come up and running around the car and you can't get around and knocking on your window and everything else. Listen, this is good. This is a good part. The Chapman Partnership way of doing things is fantastic. It's so much more than just a warm meal. And we don't just have somebody grab a bite to eat and grab a nap and then hit the streets all night. They're changing lives daily, man, with all these great programs, with all this caring support and wraparound services they put together. Things like mental health doctors, very important. Doctors to come in for physicals, dentists to come in. And it's about really 3 to 4 months of rehabilitation and helping families. Half the people, it's all family members are staying in the homeless. And you're not that far away if you really think about it, if you've ever been down and out from being in that situation. And Chapman Partnership is helping people find a place to live, find a job. In 3 to 4 months, we got some great success stories. We are celebrating our 30th anniversary this year. 30 years of hope, man. And through the three decades, Chapman has assisted in over 145,000 individuals and families to overcome self-sufficiency. Join me in 2025 to celebrate any amount of money you can give on this mission that is growing more people. We're putting in the program and helping more people on the success and hoping they'll get back out and they're doing everything they can. Join me at WQM to show support to one of my favorite charities that really does make a difference in our community. Little bit of money and your support can make a big, big difference. Let's help support families and individuals overcoming homelessness at Chapman here in 2025. Two facilities, more than 800 people. Go online to chapmanpartnership.org. Hey, listen, we can't do these programs without you. Go to chapmanpartnership.org. Any amount of money you can give makes a big difference. Thank you. All right, welcome. Welcome back here. Hey, man, the Marlins are going to be leaving today for a three-game series starting tomorrow with Milwaukee and then off to St. Louis for three. I got to tell you, man, what a story. 48-53. Another 3-2 win. Got a lot of guys playing really well, pitching side as well as everyday players. Keep having guys go down, and they just bring other guys in and just keeps going well. Clayton McCullough, their manager, has done, in my opinion, an unbelievable job. There for a while, I thought it got away. When they lost three games to Colorado, I was a little concerned. I was like, remember Colorado's on a record pace to lose like 150 games or something? I'm exaggerating, but lose a lot of games. And all of a sudden, that thing just got it flipped around. Doing great. Anyway, hey, we got Hollywood's headlines, man. I didn't realize that. I'm sorry about that, Woody. What's going on?
All good, Joe. We're here in Charlotte.
It's time for Hollywood's headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
God, Woody, I've really screwed this thing up today. I don't have you to
look at. That's okay, guys.
It's
okay. I was just going to let you know that, you know, we're here at this beautiful Hilton Hotel here. the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy Sports Grill, guys.
All right. I'll be there tonight, Duffy's Implantation, and tomorrow night. I can't wait.
Oh, nice. Dan's, you do the trivia over there, right?
Yeah, trivia, play music, maybe have a couple of beers, food.
Why don't you just, while we're working, why don't you skip a couple beers tonight and just drink the
water? I'll drink some water. It's important that you
drink
water.
We're just talking about water. Anyway, all right, Woody.
Maybe Joe should take some of his own advice.
Yeah, exactly. Give up
all
the
right,
tequila.
We had some media news yesterday. It looks like ESPN is reportedly nearing a deal to potentially acquire the NFL Network and Red Zone.
They've been on this for a while.
Yeah. Did you see, by the way, as part of the deal that Stephen A. Smith will handle the Red Zone duties? Did you see that?
No way. No.
Nah, I'm kidding about that.
But wait, what,
could you imagine?
Well, he's not going to have time because he's going to be running for president, so he's going to be so super busy. But yeah, so
nothing could ruin a Sunday more than that guy screaming at you in the morning.
So I guess everybody's kind of curious, like, do all those people at NFL lose jobs, or what happens to Baldy and the rest of those guys? I'm guessing they pick them up, right?
I kind of think there's a need for an additional network, though, man. Like, right? Like, doesn't there need to be a 24/7 NFL network?
Oh.
Like, we're in the dead of summer, and it's all people care about. Like,
well, I
you know,
I don't know. I can't speak for everybody out there, but if I see the game, they have games on from last year all the time. And if it usually the good ones, they're not putting on, you know, a 55-7 game on there. But if it's a good game, you go, oh my God, what? Oh yeah, this part's coming up here. This is really good or something. I'll watch it a little bit. But yeah, you want more live stuff to keep up on everything all day. I would agree.
All right. Speaking of more stuff here, Joe. I what's today? Thursday. I think we've had a new documentary every single day. So far this week, Marshawn Lynch now is going to produce a Seattle Seahawks documentary. It'll be titled 12, about the Seattle Seahawks near relocation Anaheim in the mid-1990s. Lynch's Beast Mode Productions will produce the film alongside Victory Sports Media, which has produced other sports films like Dream Big, The Michelle Wie Story, and The Great Debate with Charles Barkley.
You know, it's funny, every time I hear about some of the Seattle Seahawks, how mad those guys were at that stupid call at the end of the game from Russell Wilson throwing the ball between a tackle and a tight end. The guy picked it off. There was somebody actually there to intercept it. They were going to lose that game. And you got Lynch ready to take it in. Marshawn Lynch going to score. It was the dumbest friggin' play I've ever seen in the Super Bowl at the end of a game. And the worst part is it looked like they had scouted it out because Belichick had somebody there to intercept it. Anyway, those guys were real upset for a while. The guys on defense and were pissed they didn't have two championships instead of just the one.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Did you by any chance happen to see the video of the Browns helmet reveal yesterday?
No, I didn't see it.
So the Browns unveiled a new helmet. They're calling it their Alpha Dog helmet. It's essentially just a brown helmet with like a stripe going through it. It looks like the regular ones. Anyway, just with the colors changed. They had like a floating platform that they put out there in the lake to reveal this thing. There's a big sign, a banner sponsored by Dude Wipes, which you know what those are?
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, the bathroom things.
Yeah.
Anyway, the video went viral of them releasing the helmet because the second they take the cover off the helmet, the guy on the barge thing that's filming it falls right into the lake.
Come on.
Just falls right into the lake. I mean, you can't make this video up. If you haven't seen it, just you know, type in Brown's helmet reveal and you'll see it. The guy falls right into the lake the second they reveal the thing. The video is incredible.
Oh, God, Woody. That's funny. Now I got to check that out.
Kind of perfect for their franchise there.
Boy.
And finally, Joe, we have a pretty cool item that has hit the auction block here. I'm guessing you might be interested in this one, to be honest. This is Barry Bonds' 756th home run home plate.
The home plate, huh?
The home plate. Sold about a year ago, Joe, for $37,515 at gold, and it's back on the market now. Bidding is around that same number, so we'll see what it ends up going for here, Joe. But any thoughts?
None.
This seems like something right up your alley. I don't know. You're a big Giants fan. You're a Bonds guy.
I am.
Until he was mean to you.
I'm a Giants fan, but yeah. Not. Listen, he's a great player. He's a great player on or off the junk. He was a great player. I think most people would say he was a great player. The skinny Barry Bonds with the Pirates to the guy that looked like a middle linebacker playing for the San Francisco Giants. He was good at hitters wherever you're going to see. He was. But, yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
Any idea the most expensive home plate ever sold?
No idea.
$300,000.
Really?
The original home plate from original Yankee Stadium.
The original from Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
My God. Think about all the guys that tapped their bat.
Old stadium.
Yeah. Slid home to, wow, there's some history there.
$300,000 for that one, yeah.
I'll be damned. Wow, that's.
Yes, you will.
Boy, Woody, that's some good stuff, man. The documentaries just keep on coming. Just every day.
Yeah, find time to watch. Have you watched the new quarterback one?
I haven't, Woody.
I got it queued up on the iPad here. Try to watch it on the flight home from Charlotte.
Yeah. You're coming home tonight. You'll be here tomorrow?
Yes. Yes, I will, Joe. Hopefully, we took Spirit on the way here. It's like sitting on plywood.
Yeah, come on, man.
Hopefully my ass
come
won't be hurting too much tomorrow.
Come on.
I could throw a little bit of a cushion in there.
I'm guessing you're on Spirit because you got a deal for the family, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did get
come
a deal.
On, man.
No, I didn't just choose them.
All right, so come on, man.
I wasn't like, all things being equal here, I'm just going to go with Spirit.
I mean, you got a shot in on them this morning.
It was more than meant to be a shot.
Well, it was. You hadn't had a shot in anybody here in a couple of days. You need to get that shot in there. That was needed.
Hey, wasn't meant to be a shot.
All right, Wood. Well, listen, we got 8 o'clock hour coming up here.
The constructive criticism.
Yeah. I'm sure the Spirit people.
Well, I was saying, like, you know, maybe just a little padding between you and the Wood.
Jeez. So you're really bothered by it. I just asked if you were coming home, you're taking shots at the.
I took a Frontier flight from Vegas. You know, it's like a 5-hour flight. I didn't walk straight for a week.
Now you're ripping Frontier. Well, I know you jumped on Frontier because it was a bargain. I know that.
Oh, yeah. That was a bargain, all right.
No one's caping up for Frontier.
But they don't have to make you feel like you're sitting there seeing, like, wow, all right, I see why this was cheap.
Like, you're on, like, Con Air, bro.
So what,
yeah,
so what
exactly
do you think? You think you're going to get the fly on the cheap and what? You're going to just, like, you're sitting first class at American or something? Come on.
You think I should lower my expectations?
Yeah, I would say so.
All right.
Got from point A to B. That's the most important thing. All right, we got to go to break here.
I suppose so.
8 o'clock hour's coming up here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to. Hurricane season, man, is coming, and I want you to make sure you're doing everything possible with hurricane season, never knowing when the big boy's coming, to protect your home with Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing. Got that old leaky roof. Man, what are you waiting for? Replace your old roof now, and you can pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of 5-star reviews. Say big on their legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows low as $3 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, that's LoctiteImpact.com or call 954-500-LOCK. I recommend you call them during working hours because they got 6 or 8 professionals that answer the phone that are ready to help you out. Answer all your questions. Get the process started. And doesn't matter where you are in South Florida, Loctite is ready to go for you. Check it out. Loctite Impact, covering all of South Florida.